News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's nearly 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. That, of course, is the text line. It's also the phone line if you want to jump in here and be live with us on the air. You're welcome to it.
Yeah, and there's a lot to discuss, as usual. The heavy news, the light news, and then it seems every so often, fairly often, we have a kind of background discussion, I guess you could call it. And this morning that has been the younger generations, and is it a fear or just an inability to use the telephone or use your cell as an old school style pick up and call somebody telephone? And we had a lot of great responses to that earlier in the hour, and we'll get to those in this hour. 251-343-0106.
Yeah, there's a course or a class in England where they're teaching young people
how to use the telephone properly.
How to use the telephone and call somebody up or call for reservations or whatever that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah, but there's been some good response with some of you telling us about your children or grandchildren and their inability to do the same. We'll get to that, but yesterday was a very, very busy news day, and President-elect Trump did something that we haven't seen President Biden do, and that is a long press conference where he's basically taking all questions and speaking about some things that are really important and really notable. And, of course, on the heels of the continuing resolution that was passed prior to the new year, and then Mike Johnson having to work for the votes to retain his position as House Speaker, Trump talked about passing a new budget with the new Congress and whether he wants one big beautiful bill or to pass it another way.
We have a wonderful Republican Congress, and the question is whether or not we do the two bills or one bill. And, you know, look, I can live either way. I like the idea of the one big bill, but I can live either way. But they'll be coming down. The senators also will be coming down. And then ultimately we'll be meeting in the White House in a few weeks.
And so that was pretty crucial as we talk about how they're going to get this next budget across the line. And he wants to do away with the debt limit and pour a lot of money in to start. And they swear that down the line they will get America's finances back in order. And part of that plan has been through the use of tariffs, I think more in negotiation than practice, but the Trump administration clearly not afraid to use tariffs, actually use them when it comes down to it. We've seen that with China and several other countries, but he once again yesterday during that presser said that if Canada and Mexico don't get their act together, more or less, that they will have very serious tariffs imposed upon them. But I think the most viral moment of the presser from yesterday was when Trump said this.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Mexico has to stop allowing millions of people to pour into our country.
There's a lot of talk about both Canada and Mexico and Greenland and the Panama Canal. Here's Trump riffing on our neighbors to the north and the south.
We are not treated well, as you know, by Canada. Canada is subsidized to the tune of about $200 billion a year, plus other things. They don't essentially have a military. They have a very small military. They rely on our military. It's all fine, but, you know, they got to pay for that. It's very unfair. I have so many great friends. One of them is the great one, Wayne Gretzky. I said, run for prime minister. You'll win, and it'll take 2 seconds. But he said, well, am I going to run for prime minister or governor? You tell me. I said, I don't know. Let's make it governor. I like it better. But no, something's going to have to be done. Same thing with Mexico. We have a massive deficit with Mexico, and we help Mexico a lot. They're essentially run by the cartels, and can't let that happen.
Yeah, so that was him riffing on Canada and Mexico. Meanwhile, his son, Trump Jr., made a trip to Greenland. And while he was over there, he put his dad, the president-elect, on speakerphone. But Trump yesterday during that presser also spoke about the possible acquisition of Greenland and why he would want to do so.
We need Greenland for national security purposes. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen.
And kind of same thing with the Panama Canal. He brought up China again.
The Panama Canal is vital to our country. It's being operated by China.
So your thoughts on that? It makes a lot of sense to me, at least bringing it up as a topic of conversation. And if you don't end up acquiring, the Panama Canal or Greenland, at the very least, you've worked it back towards your side of the pendulum, right? That they'll be less apt to allow China to do certain things or to allow other countries that are adversaries of ours to move in on us. But I like the idea of acquiring Greenland.
Yeah. Greenland, by the way, so Trump Jr. did go over there.
Yeah, he was there yesterday. I don't know how long his trip is.
It doesn't take you long. Look, he could have shaken hands with every citizen just about. Greenland, if their population is about the same as Daphne, Fairhope, and Foley combined.
Is it really?
That's it. It's about, it's about six, and I'm guessing there in the Baldwin County numbers, it's about 58,000 or something like that. So the size of the population of the Eastern Shore, that's it.
Yeah, but we're not buying it for the people, although I'm sure they're lovely, right? But because of the national security implications with the Arctic and the buildup there of both Russia and China.
Yeah.
But also minerals. That's a big part of this, too. And
well, the citizens of Greenland, you've heard some of them speak out about they're getting kind of ripped off by Denmark as far as the minerals. It's like, sit still, be quiet. Almost like you're in the doctor's and you're going to get a shot.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, close your eyes. Here we go. We're going to get some more minerals out.
And if you're, if you're worried about your security and you're in Greenland, would you rather be protected by the U.S., which they basically, I think, are de facto protected by the U.S. because of our relationship with Denmark? Or would you rather be dependent on the Denmark military?
Yeah, the old Danes.
But then again, once you become a U.S. territory, you may be a target for more people for something like that. But I don't know. I think just as far as national security, all of these ideas make sense to at least discuss. And John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, we'll get into him more coming up. But I thought what he had to say on Fox News last night about the freakout when Trump says these kinds of things, even when the people who are freaking out know damn well that it's not something worth freaking out about,
right,
and that it should be a discussion more than a panic mode button thing. And so Fetterman laid that out, I think, to a great degree. And, with Fetterman and Katie Britt both on Fox News at the same time last night, that's the future. That's what politics is going to look like. I could see both of them being in the Senate for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And with Fetterman, of course, that stroke – and then the issues he still has with the audible issues with his ear and being able to hear things, and that leads to some of the stuttering. But he says some pretty wise things, and I know he's a liberal. I disagree with him on a whole heck of a lot of things, but he's a moderate in a lot of things, and I just like that he's willing to listen to certain things coming from the right. Here's Fetterman on the whole talk of Greenland.
There's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. Now, and I know there's a lot of freakouts, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it and, whether just buying it outright. I mean, if anyone think that's bonkers, it's like, well, remember the Louisiana purchase? Oh, I think Alaska was pretty a great deal too. $50 million, I think it was. It was referred to as Seward's Folly. And now that was Alaska now. So, I mean, open to having all kinds of conversations as well. And now I don't think it's not helpful to freak out. But some things might work out, some may not, but that's part of ongoing dialogue. But he hasn't even taken office in 2 weeks. And, we really need to pace ourselves if we're going to freak out over every last tweet or every last conversation or press conference.
That's a good one, John.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, we are here to work together.
Yeah.
And some things you can agree or disagree, but I think that's how D.C. works.
And you all have a great rapport. We saw it last time when you came on Common Ground. Do you think the 119th Congress is going to be more of trying to find that?
I hope so. And I hope the two of us can be a part of that. I mean, look, I think the people that elected us expect us, when we share a common goal with someone on the other side of the aisle, get in the room and figure it out.
So I like that. I like that those two are able to work together and even, be on the same dais as they discuss these different topics. But really, I'm impressed with Fetterman and his even before Congress and the Senate were once again in Republican hands, he was willing to work across the aisle. Your thoughts on Trump's comments as far as Canada, Greenland, Mexico, the Panama Canal?
They're the start of they're the first volley in negotiations. That's what they are. Why would you freak out by that? I like that Fetterman is listening. I do too. He's become a voice, you know, for a guy that was easy to mock when he got in.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat, a lot of things, like you say, that policy-wise you would have a problem with, but that's the nature of Democrats. But I like the fact that he's not just listening, that he's willing to share a dais with Katie Britt.
Yeah, and they've worked up a friendship.
They have.
And she keeps getting position after position in the Senate and becoming even more important. He's just, the way he won in Pennsylvania, he is a rural Pennsylvania Democrat, of which I've known several over the course of my life. And they have a lot of conservative values,
sure,
of course, but they're a union through and through, and that's led them to the blue party for years and years and years. But socially, there are a lot of things they agree with the Republican Party, and Fetterman knows that. He knows that, and that he's going to need to keep that up if he wants to stay in office.
Just a small-town mayor, is that what he was?
Yeah, very small-town.
Yeah, he didn't have, like, all this political past and capital where he's learning the ropes as he goes along.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I think he's pretty good at it.
I think he kind of is,
On the text line.
Remember Tuberville would just speak highly of Fetterman from time to time?
Tuberville, and especially Britt. Mommy issues on the text line. And is this James? I need like a real name. I understand the nickname sometimes, but Mommy Issues said, "You are fooling yourself if you think those can be taken without military intervention." What are you talking about? Mexico, maybe Canada. There's no chance. Although Trump didn't say that there's no chance when asked yesterday about using the military to acquire it. But in reality, we're not going to be putting the Marines on the shores of Greenland. It's going to be a negotiation,
sure,
of some sort. And I honestly, you know, if I had to rank the possibility of these things happening, I would put Greenland as easily the number one thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
We could easily acquire Greenland from Denmark.
I could see that.
And I think, you know, Greenland, they're negotiating as well. When you hear them say that they're not up for sale. Well, there's a lot of people that say that right before selling said thing.
Yeah.
Once they're
you have a neighbor who says their house isn't for sale, and then they're gone in a week.
Exactly.
You know? I guess it was for sale.
I don't know why you think that military intervention is the only way that a deal can be made.
I think that a lot of these are just dog whistles for Democratic left-leaning commentators to pipe up. They can't help themselves. They've got, so it's, I don't know if it's in the Senate or the Congress, the people who are saying these things about Trump's ambitions here. I think it's more of the commentators that they've got to have something.
Exactly.
They've got to have something to say, and Trump is giving them an avenue where they can all sit in a circle, talk to each other, and say how ludicrous any of this is.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's not.
No, not when you break it down. And we have a lot of text to get to as well, plus more from that wide-ranging presser yesterday with Trump. He talked about Hamas and what's going to happen if those hostages aren't released before he takes office.
Here comes the deadline.
Yeah. More coming up. Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106.
Who would believe the Trump-wide intent would eventually have Mark Zuckerberg down in Mar-a-Lago? Now, on board with MAGA, pretty
more
much.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and appointing Dana White to his board will get, okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's just a Trump thing. Zuckerberg loves MMA now.
He does, for sure. But, Dana White's certainly pro-Trump, and Zuckerberg looks like he's coming around.
And I think that's actually a pretty standard route for some people in politics and life.
Mm-hmm.
Like Zuckerberg spent so much of his life in front of the keyboard, and he gets into mixed martial arts and starts doing jiu-jitsu and sparring and doing physical things that hurt sometimes. And I think a lot of times when people do that, they realize the way of the world, and that is merit is what gets you where you need to go.
Yep.
And that if you don't put in the hard work day to day, then when it comes time to step into the ring or onto the mat, you're just not going to be ready, no matter what happens.
It's a cool factor.
And
Dana White has accepted you as part of his You know what I mean? Like, you're in Dana White's
circle. There's that, too. But I'm just talking about from the physical sense and how it relates to your political leanings. There are a lot of people who don't do anything physical their entire lives. And then once they get into some physical sport or activity or labor, then for some reason, one reason or another, they become more conservative. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's kind of standard. You've seen it a lot. And I think that's kind of been Zuckerberg's route. Let's see. A lot of text, and we'll get to more of this Trump audio, too. Aiden from Citronelle said, just remember, we gave away the Panama Canal during the Carter administration. Leo said, just FYI, from 1789 to the Civil War, tariffs were used for revenue mostly. They provided about 90% of the federal government's total revenue. Tariffs are nothing new. Yeah, and I will say that was news to me when this whole tariffs discussion began months and months ago. I've certainly learned since then that we used to rely much more heavily on
the
tariffs.
History of tariffs.
But it's about, you know, how do you turn this system around? It's not like turning even a boat around or turning a cruise ship around. I'm trying to turn around an economic and financial system that's massively in debt and has many, many different, you know, legs. So how do you turn that around and mostly rely on tariffs? That's what Trump sounds like he's going to try to get to.
And internally rely on Doge, too, you know, to clear out the waste
there. A lot of the waste, yeah. That's a big, big aspect. This texter says, I don't understand why any American would frown on the idea of us consolidating our finances when we are $30 trillion in debt. And that's why I think that's probably the biggest ask of this Trump administration coming in, is so much of the campaign was about the promise of getting America's finances in order. And they're asking to raise the debt limit. They're saying there's going to be an input cost before we're able to bring that down. I think that's putting a lot of trust in the American people.
I think it is, but I also think that you've got it's going to be expensive to deport. It's going to be expensive to straight out immigration because, like I say, I would not be opposed if people went to jail for what happened at the border. I don't mean the people crossing the border. I mean the people responsible for it all.
Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody needs to go to jail for that.
I would say.
And his name is Mayorkas, at the very least.
Well, let's go there. Let's start there.
Because
it was intentional.
Even the mass firing of government employees, you're talking about severance pay for a lot of them. You're talking about new costs that you might not have seen coming and fighting lawsuits tooth and nail. So I think that'll be a pretty expensive endeavor as well.
Probably.
With the promise at the end of having a little better budget. Chad says, Fetterman is my favorite Democrat. Before he took office, I could never imagine myself saying that.
Me and too.
As Texter says, Fetterman is the new Joe Manchin. Martin says, good analogy of Zucker nerd. You can't call him that anymore, man. He is he's a fighter. Although I don't know how good he actually is.
They only put him up against other nerds.
Well, remember when he and Elon were supposed to fight?
Yeah, I do remember that. That wasn't long ago.
And they were dead serious.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them was.
That wasn't long ago.
Elon decided his back was way too jacked up to do something like that. Another texter, we are 30. This is Ricky. Hey, Ricky. Let's all have a debt jubilee for everyone and give out land to all the poor to have a home. Signed, Ricky. Keep your texts coming in, 251-343-0106. More from that Trump presser yesterday, and he was talking about with his special envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, how things are going with Israel and Hamas negotiations, and Trump, who has said this before, said this once again.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
And this Witkoff, he's been in Qatar. He's been in Doha trying to make this deal even before Trump takes office.
Do I have to define it for you? Look, all hell will break out.
Do you think they're waiting for President Trump to take office?
No, I think they heard him loud and clear. Better get done by the inaugural.
Pretty straightforward there.
Yep.
But Witkoff, he also spoke some more yesterday at that presser and said they're close, and he was headed back to Qatar after that presser yesterday to keep working on those negotiations.
Trump is having all kinds of effects on all kinds of things in all areas of the world, and he's not even in office yet.
Still just almost 2 weeks, yeah.
Making things happen. 830 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
Thanks, Kane. 834 on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Coming to the phones here in just a moment, 251-343-0106. Also, plenty of texts. And I want to remind you about this great organization here in Mobile, CASA Mobile. And it's an acronym. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And they work in Mobile County. This is an organization that Nick Saban is also closely aligned with, CASA. And their mission is to transform the lives of children and youth who are caught up in the child welfare system. Our local nonprofit, their mission is to provide one consistent, caring volunteer who's been trained to advocate for each child's best interest. You know, if you've listened to Mobile Mornings for any time at all, and when we're going through the news early in the morning, there's so many stories with people going to jail or being, you know, injured or worse, and many of those people have children who end up getting lost in the system, as terrible as it sounds. CASA Mobile is trying to fix that, and right now they urgently need more volunteers to reach their goal of serving every abused and neglected child in Mobile County. They need someone who will address that child's right to a safe, loving, and permanent home. And if you feel a calling, if you're someone who wants to get involved in that, volunteer training starts later this month on the 27th. There are, I think, six classes, all of them in the evening, that should work with most work hours. And for people who want to help but aren't able to commit to volunteering, you can also donate or get more information at casamobile.org. That's casamobile.org.
836 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton, 251-343-0106. If you want to text or call like Fireball is done right now. Fireball, good morning.
Good, guys, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing just great. Good.
How are you, Fireball?
Man, it ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
There you go.
There it is. That's the Fireball call.
His signature move.
What do you want to talk about this morning?
Sir?
What do you want to discuss with Dan and I this morning?
Okay. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. When you're a member of Congress, when you get out of or get voted out or whatever, do they get like $160,000 a year?
I don't know what the number is, and I think it's a sliding scale for how long.
Yeah, I think it is a sliding scale.
How long you were up there, but they get a pension and maybe some other benefits that continue on. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they get over $100,000 a year, then that needs to be cut out when they get out of office. That'll save the taxpayers a lot of money.
There's a cut right there. So every former congressman,
I don't think they get that much and Senator, annually, because that would be an awful lot.
Yeah,
I mean, we would be talking, if you talk of every single current and past congressman that's still alive.
We'll look into that, Fireball. That's a good suggestion, though.
But yeah, I do think they get benefits and pensions that carry on. I just don't think it's to that tune.
We got to get some people to pass some laws that know how to cut corners. Like, I like Kraft mayonnaise, but my wife wants to get Bama mayonnaise, and it just doesn't taste the same. She has I have to cut corners because of my wife.
You know, people have, I'm not pointing you in this direction, but people have gotten divorced over less. So just
that's right.
Keep that. You do have that in your back pocket. Thanks, Fireball.
251-343-0.
Cut her loose and going to blame me.
Did he say Bama mayonnaise?
Yeah, Bama mayonnaise.
I don't know if I've ever had Bama mayonnaise.
I think it's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have had it. You know, I'm a mayonnaise. I don't even ask for the label sometimes. If there's mayonnaise, I just eat it. So there you go. On a sandwich, of course, not just straight mayo. Let's see. Martin says Biden's wanting to close Gitmo. We need to keep it open and send half his family there, along with the Clintons, Obama, and all their friends and leftist crooks. Yeah, we're down to three, let's see, maybe six. Let's just say a handful or slightly more than a handful of prisoners remaining in Guantanamo, because early Monday morning they sent off, I want to say, 11 or so over to the UAE, who these are Yemeni? I'm not sure how you say it, but prisoners that have been in Guantanamo for decades, sent them back to the Middle East, where they will be transitioning, I guess, back to civilian lives in their countries. So that leaves us with just very few remaining in Guantanamo. One of those is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who will plead his deal and avoid the death penalty, but he will get life in prison for being the mastermind. But I thought this was embarrassing. The story from Wall Street Journal: the Biden administration's negotiating with the Taliban to exchange three Americans who are currently detained in Afghanistan for Mohammed Rahim al-Afghani, who is an alleged senior al-Qaeda aide currently held in Guantanamo. But that wasn't enough. The Taliban counteroffered. That's the position of strength they have here, seeking not just Rahim, but also two others in exchange for only two of the three Americans. And these negotiations have been going on since July, which you think of the Afghanistan withdrawal and how bad that looked. Can you believe that it seems to me like we're being taken to the cleaners in a negotiation with the Taliban over these prisoners? So that's what the result is. Guantanamo Bay really kind of going out with a whisper after 24 years of the war on terror. Pretty hard to believe that this is how it ends.
Yeah, but it's not hard to believe when you just look at the tenor and tone of the entire Biden administration from walking out of Afghanistan in the first place and the way that that was so poorly done and so heartbreakingly done and without even... No regrets at all.
No.
And then we look back into our own border. No regrets at all.
Well, you don't hear about any regrets until they're headed out of office and you got some trying to save face and earn jobs in the next Democrat administration or the next crew of lobbyists that are calling for them. So you see that. That's when they express regret after it's all said and done. And we really didn't see much information from Biden throughout most of the presidency. No good long press conferences for the most part.
No, I'm saying
like we got from Trump yesterday.
Trump yesterday. If you looked at Biden in the last year, well, just put a cap at there, 1 year. Had he done that much work with the press in that year?
Yeah, if you take out the State of the Union, I don't think he spoke that much combined over the course of the year.
I don't think he did. He did not sit down and talk to the American people through reporters probably the entire year of 2024. Trump did more yesterday in one day. You can correct me, but look, I'm here every day. I think that's the truth.
You know where we are. We're open to it. Also, I want to get to a couple more of these Trump things before we move on because I thought he talked about some really important things. One of those was Ukraine and NATO, and he reiterated something he's been saying for quite some time here.
Putin said you could never have NATO involved with Ukraine. Now, they've said that. That's been, like, written in stone. And somewhere along the line, Biden said, no, they should be able to join NATO. Well, then Russia has somebody right on their doorstep.
And he also mentioned something that it was a news story a couple of years ago, and we've brought it up a bunch here on Mobile Mornings, but the fact that right after that initial Russian push towards Kiev, and they were kind of stonewalled in a way and driven back, there were negotiations going on then for some sort of peace deal. And the word was that Biden and
Boris Johnson
of the UK put the kibosh on that deal because they wanted to see the fighting continue for one reason or another.
I think it was about a year in. I think it was.
It wasn't very long.
About 1 year to the day that word came out, like, oh, by the way, the anniversary may be met with, we're going to get out of this.
And I think the word was that Biden and Johnson felt they could push Russia completely back out of Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was maybe more ulterior motives for not wanting to see a peace deal done.
But yeah.
Trump reiterated that's what happened yesterday.
That war could escalate to be much worse than it is right now.
Because they can never join NATO.
Well, my view is that it was always understood. In fact, I believe that they had a deal and then Biden broke it. They had a deal which would have been a satisfactory deal to Ukraine and everybody else, but that Biden said, no, you have to be able to join NATO.
So maybe that was what called the deal off there early, was that Biden wanted Ukraine to have the ability to join NATO, which was the deal made previously was that NATO would not move that close to Russia and
right
into Ukraine.
Right.
So maybe that's what called the deal off at the time. And then other big news yesterday, which Trump did respond to, was that Facebook is basically doing away with their fact-checking and will move towards more of a Twitter or X-style community notes system. And Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, which is Instagram and Facebook, here's what he had to say.
Now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
And so he said there would be a pretty big trade-off, though.
The reality is that this is a trade-off. It means we're going to catch less bad stuff, but we'll also reduce the number of innocent people's posts and accounts that we accidentally take down.
And that was good news to a lot of people that Zuckerberg's finally doing that. Trump even commented shortly on it.
Honestly, I think they've come a long way.
I would say so.
You know, we talked about that before the break. Yeah, they've come a long way. I mean, his realization of all that happened on 2020, and the way he admits now he was pressured by the government, and he believed them, mm-hmm. which much of the nation believed them as well, and as it turns out, should not have.
Right.
So now you got the guardrails are off at Facebook and from at Meta, and now you have a board appointment at Meta, UFC CEO Dana White.
Mm-hmm.
Which now that Zuckerberg's buddies with it's just like the universe is just colliding with itself. But he did get in good shape. He started to follow
MMA.
MMA.
Yeah, he's been to a lot of UFC events as a guest of Dana's.
Now he's like, so has others in the Trump tent, mm-hmm. right? With the using those fights to promote themselves. So Dana White gets asked about, you know, okay, now, if you're going to be part of Meta, your past would, this questioner is like saying, you give your people at their press conferences a long leash, mm. right? Because they say anything.
They're right? allowed to say whatever they want, yeah.
So anyway, this guy does not even realize he's going down the wrong way with Dana.
You obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash?
Like
free speech. Going to control what people say? Going to tell people what to believe? Going to tell people... I don't tell any other human being what to say, what to think, and there's no leashes. Aren't any of them. What is your question?
I was asking that question. I'll move on, though.
Yeah, probably a good idea. That's ridiculous to say I give somebody a leash.
He would have been a fantastic press secretary.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that guy, you know, it's... I remember one time, one of my brothers said, are you aware of Dana White? And I said, yeah, a little bit. And they sent me a clip, like... Check him out.
Yeah.
Like the kind of guys that we would say, all right, you know, yeah. like I'll listen to what he's got to mm-hmm. say.
Well, you know, when you're someone who's in charge of a roster full of
maniacs.
Dozens and dozens of straight up, yeah, killers.
Yeah.
I mean, then you have to have certain backbone.
Right. You got to have a little dog in you to control the dogs, right?
Yeah. And when you're growing a business like that. Remember John McCain coming after them very early on, calling it human cockfighting.
Wow.
And some of the first events they would only hold in states like Alabama because we had laxer rules than the rest of the country. So you're talking about a pretty hard scrabble dude that comes from the boxing world that grew that organization with the Fertitta brothers. And free speech has been his goal the whole way through. So that is a big deal that he is joining the board there at Meta.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you consider that, what he's all about, and now what Meta's trying to do, to at least be down the middle, not interfere, that's a big deal.
I would pay UFC pay-per-view money to see that first board meeting with some of the other people that are on that Meta board.
They've got some others they've got... Joel Kaplan is Meta's chief global affairs officer, but they also, some others, I think, were appointed to the board at the same time.
By the way, I have
Dana White.
I have some Kaplan here, the one you just mentioned there, the Meta chief global affairs officer speaking on this yesterday.
When you have a U.S. president administration that's pushing for censorship, it just makes it open season for other governments around the world that don't even have the protections of the First Amendment to really put pressure on U.S. companies.
So now that Biden's out of office, you're hearing all these people saying, can you believe what they did to us? Man, that was awful. They wouldn't be saying that if Biden had won or if Kamala had won that election. I think they'd be singing a different tune.
I guess you're right. It's 8:49 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Good morning to you. 8:53 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, hosted by the best of friends, Dan and Dalton.
We are really good friends. People don't believe it because we're so confrontational on air, but when those mics go off, man, we are
hugging it out, man.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. C.B. Carl said, when you talk about the world's reaction to Trump's upcoming administration, it reminds me of when my former commander-in-chief, Ronald Reagan, was about to take office. Bonesaw, one of my favorite texters, no offense to anyone else, but we were talking about what congressmen and women leave with once they leave office, whether they get some kind of stipend or pension. Yeah. Or I know they get I think they get a pension and some benefits that carry on. But Bonesaw said, when I was in Congress, I was paid in raccoons and the blood of my enemies. So, Bonesaw in Bonesaw mode per usual. GC says, yeah, release those terrorists back into civilization so they can learn the newest techniques on a pipe bomb. I'm not sure how that whole Guantanamo thing worked out. It's because it's going out with a whimper, like I said, but these terrorists were for decades in prison without being charged, even though I believe for the most part we knew they were involved in some pretty heinous things over there. And so now we're just releasing. I don't get the whole thing, and no. I hope that there's a real, I'm sure there are deep dives out there, but I need a documentary or something. Like, get me to the bottom of the details here.
You know, maybe, what?
What's that?
Jeff can talk to somebody about that.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeff has some more insight in the prisoners being released from Guantanamo, but he joins us as he has a big show planned on the way next. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Tuberville, you got him on at 9:35 this morning.
Dude. Even before that, I think.
Top of the show,
oh,
yeah.
Top of the show. Very good. Mm-hmm. So he's on with you, and you can get his reaction to a whole bunch of stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot going on, obviously, but the news cycle, at least as far as Capitol Hill goes, is kind of interesting. With I'll say this, I think Congress is moving pretty fast.
Yeah, they get that Lake and Riley Act through the House yesterday, and now awaits the Senate. So that's great. This first hour, you're going to get comment from the Senate side of things with Tuberville, and then Congressman Barry Moore in the second half of the hour, that kind of let you know how things are meshing here in the first week.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another one of those situations where Mike Johnson kind of pulled it out. We you know, thought, well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be another, like, a multiple-round McCarthy type of votorama, but he got it done in one round.
How did Trump do that? How exactly? Because I'm sure he was the reason.
Yeah, so I was listening to Keith Self. He was one of the holdouts. There were two holdouts, Ralph Norman and Self. Self from Texas, Norman from North Carolina. And, you know, Trump got on the phone with him and said, look, you know, I'm going to be running point. And I think for at least Congressman Self in Texas was, are we going to be how you know, he was concerned about what kind of negotiating team they would have going head to head with the Senate negotiators, because he thought the Senate would be soft and they would try to water things down. Mm. And I guess it was Trump who gave him some kind of reassurance as well. You know, the difference is, this isn't like it was when Biden's president, that you have me at that table and I'm kind of pushing in your direction.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, both of those holdouts, not including Massey, who I don't even know if his phone rang, but those were two House Freedom Caucus members that were among the holdouts. I want to also ask you, Jeff, I know you're going to talk with Senator Tuberville, but Katie Britt, and again on Fox News last night with Brett Baer, she's playing a pretty big role in this Lake and Riley Act on the Senate side of things, but named Deputy Whip in this new term, and she's on all these big committees, some key committees. She's rising pretty quickly.
Yeah, I just think it's, I mean, it may not mean, it means something, obviously, but you could tell what her trek is as a U.S. senator. She's going for leadership. She wants to be, I think, majority leader or something like that someday. You know, you could be a senator that really just brings home the pork to your district. You could be looking at every other office that you might run for, and she seems to be more of the, at least in the early stages, and kind of a Senate institutionalist.
Yeah, it seems that. Well, she is so great, though, at getting on the air. I don't know. I don't pay as much attention, obviously, when other young senators or congressmen or women get a pretty good stage with the national media. But it seems to me like she gets a lot of airtime, which I think is only good for the state.
Yeah, and like her contemporaries, like I would think like J.D. Vance was in her class, and there's some others, and you could kind of watch them as they, as the Fox News sort of selection committee, whatever.
Yeah.
And you see her start show up in a rotation on the different shows. There's something there that they think that brings in viewers.
Did you see this for Katie, you know, quite frankly, when she jumped in?
Yeah, but I figured it would take a while. But look, like all of her mentors were never these kinds of senators that would appear on TV a lot. I mean, how many times did you see Richard Shelby on Fox News? Rarely, right?
Right.
Or even Jeff Sessions.
True.
But she's kind of grown into this. It's a different era now.
All right. Jeff Porcho on the way in minutes. Thanks for hopping on with us before the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Senator Tommy Tuberville leading off. Yeah. Congressman Barry Moore right after.
Tubbs, top of the first.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And looking forward to being with you again tomorrow morning with Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. We'll be back at 6 tomorrow.